As I was looking at this Luke chapter 10 passage, I thought, wouldn't it be unique to look at it from a different angle? And every now and then I like to do these, I call them a first-person monologue or a sermon, where you literally are taking the scripture and you're personalizing it. You're putting yourself down into the scripture to understand what would it be like if I was hearing that for the first time, if I was in the story. And many stories we have in our New Testament specifically, you can do that. You can put yourself down in the story and look at it from different angles. To give you an idea of the story that Chris read earlier, you could be there as an outsider listening in, wondering why were they chosen and not me. You could put yourself in the story and say, I'm one of the 70 who are going, or 72 who are going, playing that in a moment. Or you could say, I'm one of the 12. Why were those chosen but not the 12? Didn't Jesus give us special responsibilities? You could even look at it from the viewpoint of Jesus, why is he sending them? So for today, let's take a moment and go down into the story. You know, when you read a newspaper or listen to a news story, they have two different ways they do it. One is from far off. You know, they're reporting what someone's told them. And today, it's like that embedded reporter. The reporter is actually in the situation going through that. That's what I'm going to try and illustrate today. Now, one of the things that Chris read earlier is the number. He said number 70. And interestingly enough, that's a very symbolic number. Moses gathered 70 people when they were a nation in the wilderness. You know, they were in the Exodus moment. And those 70 were like judges. They were like in charge of decision-making processes. So I went back to the original Hebrew to find out what do each of these words mean? Like, what does go mean? What does carry mean? Etc. And notice in the first verse, it says in the most ancient manuscript we have, it's 70 and 2, and they go out 2 by 2. which is pairs, okay? Some have taken that and said they go out 2 by 2, which is doubling up. I've taken it to say, oh no, there are 72 who went out. Now, that's critical to what I'm going to share with you today. But interesting piece about it, either or, it's very deeply symbolic what Jesus is attempting to do here. From my viewpoint of sharing this with you, I'm a person who's standing there going, what are we going to do? Or, we're going to do what? Here's the sermon. What did he just say? I'm sorry, I wasn't really paying attention. Sometimes I do that. What did Jesus just say? Oh, he's sending us out. Where? Oh, to the neighboring communities. Oh, I get it. I did hear that part. But there was something. He said 72 of us were going out. So that means the original 12 aren't going. It's the next wave. The next generation of people are going out. 72 of us. We're the ones. We're going to be sent by the Lord out into the communities to share the message of Jesus Christ. A message of love and good news. We're the ones. We're going to bear the message of our Savior, of Jesus. I love the symbolism of this number, 72. You know that's 6 clouds. You didn't know that? 12 is an important number. That's what I meant, right? I mean, after all, how many sons did Jacob have? He had 12. How many tribes of Israel came out of that? 12. And so when God wants to illustrate how God relates to a human being, to a group, it's in number 12. And so God showed through Israel, through the 12 tribes, the completeness of how God's going to touch the world, the goodness of how God touches a human life, that God's going to shine through these 12 groups. And there we see God's love and God's glory. Through us. The nation of Israel, God's showing a better way to live. 72 of us are going out. Wait a moment. 72 is only 6 twelves. If you believe in number symbolism, 6 is an incomplete number. The number of wholeness is 7. Shouldn't there be 7 twelves going out? Shouldn't it be 84 instead of 72? Is it possible there's another group who's going to go out? Is it possible that this group's going to go beyond the nation of Israel? Maybe the original 12. They're the ones who go. They're going to go out to the. No, God surely wouldn't do this. God's not in the process of considering the Gentiles, is he? Is part of God's plan that all the nations of Israel, all the nations of the world, all the people groups of the world will receive his light and receive his love? Oh my goodness, this is mind-blowing. This is too much for me to consider with my feeble mind. I'm getting ready to go. I'll have to ask Jesus this later. Wait, Jesus is talking again. He said, go. Yes, finally, Jesus is sending us. We're going to go to our neighbors. We're going to share the good news. And that's where God's kingdom goes first. It goes to those right beside you. Your neighbors. Your family. Your friends. The good news that God has placed in us, the light that God has shined in our heart, the love that God has shared with us, first has to go to those who are closest to us. We're to show them the kingdom of God and how it's made a difference in our lives. We go first to our neighbors. How are we going to do that? Oh, Jesus did that in a very poetic, illustrative way. He said, we're going to be lambs in the midst of these wolves. Now, relax for a moment. Please don't hear what I think I said. They're not going to care or something. these people we're going to go witness to and talk to, they're not going to eat us alive. No, no. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is talking about here is we're to go like sheep who have a great shepherd. We're to listen to the prompting of God. And when we approach a person, we're to address the need that they have before us. And some people, the need is they're hungry. So we should feed them. Some is that they're thirsty, and we should give them something to drink. Some is that they don't have enough clothes, and we should clothe them. Some folks are lost, and they need to know the good news of God. Some of them need to know that God's love is present, that not everyone's out to take advantage of them. That's when we listen to the voice of God. We act like sheep because we follow where the shepherd is taking us, and we're saying what the shepherd is taking us, is telling us to say. We're not going to respond if they get angry with us, with anger. We're going to be like sheep. After all, sheep are calm, right? We're going to just respond with love. This is so like God. God doesn't rush into our lives, grab us by the tunic and say, you will follow me. No, God sends forth the invite. Addressing our needs first, of giving us all those comfort needs, of having us be present in his love, and then when the invite comes and we accept it, God moves in, into our heart. And God changes us, not through an outside set of rules. God changes us by taking up residence in our heart, and God then moves from the inside out, changing our base desires. So it's not on this world, but on God. Changing our focus, so it's not me and myself, but so it's on God and his kingdom. And once we invite God in, once those we minister to invite God in, everything changes because we're transformed. This is what we're illustrating in our lives. Wait, Jesus is talking again. What? Did you hear what he just said? He said, carry no bag, no purse, no sandals. Wait a second, Jesus. I want to be prepared. In case my first sandal has a blowout, I've got to have a second set ready to go. How are we going to function, Jesus? If I don't have all the resources I need, this doesn't make any sense. Jesus called us to be. Sheep don't have any resources. They don't even wear sandals. Sheep carry no purse, no bag, nothing. They trust that the shepherd will take care of them. That's what we're to do. Trust that the shepherd will take care of us. We're not to carry a purse or a bag and extra sandals. We're to trust that God will provide that through other people. In our going, we have to have faith. We have to have faith so deep that God will open the human heart, that God will provide, that not only will our message go in, but God will then provide that to us. God will not allow us to physically fail. He is the El Shaddai, you know, that God Almighty, the one who provides for his people. This is a walk of trust for us to be on. Jesus is asking us to match our words with our actions. If we say that God is El Shaddai, that God is the Almighty One, that God is the one who brings, we have to live that way. We have to demonstrate it. So that in whatever we face, whether it be tragedy, or in the midst of our fears, or in the midst of our mistakes, we know that God will provide. That God will watch over us, no matter what's going on in our lives. Because when we walk with God, when we trust him, his light shines through us. Wait, Jesus is saying something else. Okay, Jesus. He said, when we enter a home and accept their hospitality, we're to eat and drink whatever is set before us. I don't think Jesus quite gets it. What if the host is a terrible cook? What if the only vegetable they put in front of you is green and disgusting? Do I still have to eat them? Yes, I get it. Life is not made up of what we eat and what we drink and what we wear. That's the problem we humans make all the time. We think this stuff of this life is so important. Well, I've heard it before, Jesus. You shared it in the sermon on that mountainside when we were all so powerfully listening to it. Jesus reminded us we're not meant for this life. We're made for eternity. That you made us to demonstrate eternity through this life. The things of this life are only temporary, and if you remember that, they come and they go. And we who believe in the goodness and the greatness of God, we're not to hold on to the things of this life so closely, so dearly. Instead, in our actions, we're to be gracious. And yes, that means eating what is set before us. Because in that, we show we're living a higher calling. The things of this life are just that. They're this life. And the things that we share in how we live are the things of the next life. Such a small way to touch a human heart. We're not to demand we have to eat this. We're not to demand I have to look like this in my clothes. We're not to demand this is the beverage of choice. Because when we make a big issue of it, we show that we belong to this life. Thank you, Jesus, for illustrating that. We're to show it's no big deal. Because we belong to eternity. These things will come, they'll come and go. But we who live in the light and love of God, we show that by accepting the difficulties of this life, even if they are green and disgusting, that we can demonstrate that we have a grander purpose. We've received a greater gift. That's the gift of the love of God. Even if it smells bad, it looks terrible, and we eat it anyway. You know, this is like an Exodus moment. You know, the people of Israel, they were in the wilderness 40 plus years. And God provided. Every morning they got up, their God put heavenly cookies on the ground. That manna stuff. They say it tasted awesome. And every evening, when the manna was like, oh boy, I'm tired of eating cookies all day, God brought food, meat, into the camp. Called that quail. God even provided in such a way that in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the desert, water flowed out of a rock. This is a wilderness. This is an Exodus moment that we all live. We go out trusting that El Shaddai will provide for us. We're going to have to create a new Israel to show through our lives that God does care about the small and minor parts of our life as well as care about the big, incredibly important parts of our life. It's time to get. And as we go, we're going to reach out to our neighbors. We're going to share with them, no matter who they are, that we understand that God's love flows through us onto them. And when we go, we carry no resources, except for the biggest resource. We carry the love of the Almighty God. Let's go to God and pray. Thank you, wonderful God, for that reminder in this story that we should not get so grounded in the things of this life that we forget another life awaits us. In fact, this life is proving ground. It's testing ground. It's the opportunity to allow all those things to get in the way for us to move them out inside so we can focus on one thing and one thing only, that's your love and how we can share it. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding us that and then illustrating it again and again in our lives. And we praise you, Lord God, through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.